This is the King Chasing Podcast. Here's your host, Richard Martin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Martin, as we continue our summer series. We look at different mission trips that will be taken by our NCCAA student athletes over the summer. If you've missed an episode of the King Chasing Podcast, don't worry. You can listen to past episodes on the NCCAA YouTube channel, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or at thenccaa.org/podcast. We continue with our summer series on mission trips as we interview Hannah Skaggs, a senior out of Louisville, Kentucky, and a volleyball player at Ohio Christian University. Hannah just returned from Uganda after going on a mission trip with her church to help out SOS Ministries. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the King Chasing Podcast. Without further ado, we'll get into our latest episode with Hannah Skaggs here on the King Chasing Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the newest edition of the King Chasing Podcast. Continuing our summer series on mission trips, we're joined by Hannah Skaggs from Ohio Christian University. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And so we'll just jump right into it. Just got back from a mission trip to Uganda and very excited to dive into that. But just want to find out, how did you find out about this mission trip and what kind of got the ball rolling? It was a little bit different way for you to kind of get yourself to Uganda and get on this mission trip.
Yeah, so my church sent out the Basaba family in 2016 to Uganda. And so since 2016, I've known about this trip. I've known about the Basaba family in Uganda. I remember like sitting in BBS missions and like watching videos about the work that they're doing there. And so I've known about it for a really long time. But this specific trip, I had a lady that has discipled me all throughout high school. Her name's Kelly. And Kelly came to me in December and was like, "I'm going to Uganda. I think you should come." And at that point, I was coaching volleyball. Through that weekend that I was going to be gone. And I was like, I just agreed. I just got a job. Like, I can't go. It was going to be their final tournament. And so it's their nationals. I needed to be there. And then that next week, that commitment just fell through. The job fell through. I wasn't going to be able to coach them throughout that season. And so the next week, Kelly was like, "Have you given it any more thought? Like, I really think you should go to Uganda with us." And at that point I was like, well, like, I'm not coaching anymore. Like, technically my calendar's free. And at that same time, the Basaba family had come to the States. Mary is the mom and her sister had some health issues. And so they were here spending time with her sister and one of their daughters, her name's Annette. Annette looked at me and was like, "You should come to Uganda." and so I was like, man, like, I'll think about it. And so I spent that week praying. The next week the Basabas were going back to Uganda. And so Annette hugged me and she said, "I'll see you this summer in Uganda." And I was like, well, I guess I'm going. And so that was kind of just how that got started. Kelly was like, "I just want you to sign up, like, trust the Lord. He'll provide for it. Just sign up." And so that's how I found out about that trip. And that's how I ended up on the trip, was just through small conversations with people. But yeah.
Awesome. So like you said, you're on the mission trip. You served with an organization called SOS. Can you tell us a little bit about that organization and what they do over in Uganda?
Yeah, for sure. So SOS, it's Sufficiency of Scriptures Ministries, and it's kind of a big umbrella. There's a lot of things that they do. Mm-hmm. So first they established the church. So it's a local church in Uganda. And they have reached several of the different villages that are in central Uganda, which has been super cool to see just like the progress that has been made since I first heard about it. And then I got to go to church the Sunday that I was there and worshiped with over 1,000 people that from the different villages. And so it's so sweet to just see that. But they have a couple of different other things that they do. One, they have a medical clinic that's on their site where they bring in people. They have a physical therapist. They have an occupational therapist that also meet with people. They have a school that's on site called Legacy Christian Academy. And that's for students in the village. They can come to school there. Students can get sponsored to go to school there and receive a Christian education, which is super cool because they're hearing the gospel from a very young age. And so that was really sweet to see. I got to sit through a chapel, and that was super sweet to just hear them be able to hear the gospel. And then they also have a shepherd's training center. And so this is kind of, it's a seminary. So men can come into the seminary and train to be pastors. And they spend the first year and a half of that program just foundational walking through scripture. And this is what the Bible says. This is the gospel, and breaking it all down. And it's a deep dive into scripture, a couple books at a time. And then that last year and a half of the program is preparing them to go out and to teach scripture, in a local church. And then, the goal of that is that they'll be sent out into villages, around Uganda and neighboring countries to share the gospel. So that's like kind of a brief overview of a lot of things that they do. And I'm sure I didn't even touch all of it. But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, like, when you go on this trip serving with them, what are just some of the, it sounds like a lot of ways to serve, but what are just some of the ways that you were able to serve during your time in Uganda?
Yeah. So one of the main projects that we did is Uganda partners with an organization, well, SOS partners with an organization called Johnny and Friends. Specifically, we partnered with the part of that organization called Wheels for the World. And so the goal of this is to get wheelchairs out to people all over the world. And so one of the ways that we practically served them was they have a storage of just wheelchairs. There's wheelchair parts, there's whole wheelchairs, there's wheelchairs that have been stripped for specific parts, there's customized wheelchairs. And when we went, because of just they go in, they need a wheelchair, they go in and they'll dig for parts. And so there wasn't a lot of organization in that just from use. And so it was kind of just a pile of like wheelchairs and wheelchair parts, and you could see where it was organized. And Mary said that it had taken somebody 2 workdays to find a wheelchair for a specific person. And so we went in and we just pulled everything out of the storage, and we went in and we put everything back. So sorted it. This is a whole wheelchair. It can be given immediately to somebody. This is a customized wheelchair. This is a wheelchair that's been stripped of its parts. And then here's legs. Here's right legs. Here's matching legs. Here's an armrest. And what that allows them to do, we built shelves for it. So everything is stored, it's organized in bins now. But what that allows them to do is when somebody comes and they need a wheelchair and maybe they need customizations to the wheelchair, the people working at SOS can go and find them a wheelchair and the parts that they need and customize the wheelchair quickly and effectively. And so that was kind of one of the main projects that we worked on, that we spent multiple days there. Some of the other things that we did is we used all of our checked bags. So each person gets 2 checked bags when you fly. We used all of our checked bags to deliver supplies. So some of those supplies were to the Basaba family because they miss chocolate chips and Cheetos and their kids like snacks. And so we brought them food, and they were super excited about that. But then some of them were practical supplies that we used for events that we were hosting. And then some of the other things were, I'm trying to think about, we brought supplies for the school. So Legacy Christian Academy, we brought enough supplies for all of the classrooms to get school supplies. And so that was another practical way that we served, just by bringing supplies. We packed in carry-ons and that was enough for us. And so we were able to give those supplies and just leave everything. And it made travel easier for us. So, that was a nice side of that. But another thing that we did while we were there was we spent one day, we called it our Luke 14 event. And this was a specific event for children with disabilities, their families, and their caregivers, because a lot of times these are families that are forgotten. And the parents and the caregivers and the siblings of these children, they deserve to be celebrated and to have fun. These kids also deserve to be celebrated and to have fun. And so we spent several days before planning out what games are we going to use, how are we going to care for them, and just planning out that event. And then we spent an entire day just loving on those families. They came in, they got meals, they got breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so they didn't have to worry about providing meals for that day. They all got to play together as a family, which was super sweet to see. Not only the kids getting to play, but just like the joy on the faces of the moms as they were playing with bubbles or they were watching their kids play with bubbles. It was so sweet. We colored, but then we also just presented them with the gospel. because it was so sweet to care for their physical needs, but even sweeter to care for their spiritual needs. And so we were able to share the gospel with them. We read through Luke 14, and just that discussion on the parable of the great banquet, and sharing with them that they've been invited, that there will be a great banquet, and that's our future hope, and that they've been invited, and here's their invitation. Don't hesitate to accept it. And so that was just such a sweet day. But we were also able to go out and have dinner with students that went to the Shepherd's Training Center. And then we were able to go out in the village and have dinner with people that were affiliated with the church in some shape or fashion. So I got to eat dinner with a lady who has gone to the church, who's now hosting a Bible study at her home, and listen to her story about how she came to know Jesus through this church, and just encourage her in that. But I know some of our other teammates, they went out to families who their mom went to the church, but they don't know Jesus. And so we were able to share the gospel with them. And then I don't have medical background, but some of our team did have medical background. And so they went out into the village with the PT at SOS, and they were able to, they brought some supplies. And they were able to just help the PT on campus go out into the village and serve the people of the village that needed help. And so that was, it was really sweet. It was a full week, but it was a really sweet week. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot, but yeah, this is an awesome time, it sounds like, as well, to serve. During that time, you mentioned some things that you saw, but what were some of the more interesting, eye-opening things? Again, different culture across the ocean in a different continent, just kind of the different things or eye-opening things you saw on this mission trip.
So the first one that comes to mind is we referred to it while we were there as an open door culture. And it was so sweet because they live in community and they live in community well. They do it well. We know from scripture that we are meant to live in community. That's part of the church is we have brothers and sisters to walk along life with us. But they do this so well. I remember I walked into Mary's house. We ate dinner over there. We walked in there one day, and I think we counted 60 heads in their living room watching a soccer game. And it was kids from the village and kids from the SOS campus. And it was just that's how they lived life. They wanted to watch a soccer game, they came over. They wanted dinner, they came over. They needed to talk, they came over. And it was just an open door. They lived in community so well. And with that, they were just so sweet all the time to everyone. They were welcoming to everyone. It was just a really sweet environment. And I think that's something that's a little bit different than our American culture. I think we can get trapped into our little family units. But really just opening, I mean, Shannon Hurley is another one of the missionaries on the campus. And I remember we were sitting in his living room, just like kind of talking about how SOS started. And we had just gone on a tour of the campus, and he probably had 10 kids walk in the door, and he was like, these are the kids that are living with me right now. And like, that's just life. Like, that's how they do life. And so it's just super sweet. They see a need, and they meet it. And a lot of times that looks like just inviting people in. And so just the sweetness of that. One of the other things was the pace of life. We were busy. Like I listed through a lot of the things that we did. And we were busy the whole week, but we were never rushed. It was never, we never felt like we were pressured to get to the next thing. I noticed, like, I was looking around, like, Mary's kitchen one day. We were prepping meals, and, like, there's not a clock in sight. It was like you weren't rushed, and you weren't constantly held to this time, which is very different than my life here. I mean, I play volleyball, so, like, I'm pretty busy all the time. I'm held to a clock, which has its positives. But when you slow down a little bit, that pace of life, you're able to just kind of look around, see the needs of people, have real conversations, and you don't feel pressured to hurry it up or get to the next thing. I had a lot of really cool conversations with people about Jesus, about what he's done in my life with my teammates and with people that worked at SOS and with people that were on SOS campus. Just because we weren't rushed to get to the next thing. It was really dive into what you're at now. So it was a busy week, but it wasn't a rushed week, and there was a sweetness to that. Just being able to calmly move from one thing to the next and serve the people and serve them well. The third thing that I have is just the impact that you can have when you're living a life focused on eternity. That's something that was told to us within the first couple hours of being on SOS's campus was this is a place where we strive to live life focused on eternity. And when you switch your mindset to living life focused on eternity and you limit your distractions, I mean, like we were in the middle of Uganda, our cell service was not fantastic. And so there was a lot of times where our phones were left in our room. We didn't have the worldly distractions. And so when you live focused on eternity without the worldly distractions and you're able to just go out and serve, one, there's a sweetness, but two, the amount of people that you're able to touch and talk to and that you can be encouraged by and that you can encourage, man, it is really eye-opening to see that. And just how distracted I had been previously here. And then the fourth thing was the majesty of God. We got to play a little bit at the end of the week. So we had a busy week. We worked hard. And then we were in Uganda. So we went on a safari with the Basaba family, which was one fun to take them on a safari and provide. I mean, the ministry, it was tiring. And I just got a small glimpse of what it was like. And I was tired at the end of the week. So I'm hoping that it was relaxing for them to get to go out and go on the safari. But we got to go on a safari with them. And there's just something so cool about seeing the majesty of God in creation, but specifically when you're in a different continent and you're looking at lions and elephants and giraffes and they're crossing right in front of your van, or you're on a boat ride in the Nile and there's hippos everywhere. Like, there's just something so cool about just looking and admiring creation when it's a little bit different than home. And you're able to just wow, like how cool is this and how cool is our creator?
That's awesome. So again, like I said, many things happen on this trip, a lot of tasks and all that. But if you had to narrow it down, and this can be multiple, but what is one thing you think God taught or how he showed up on this trip for you and your team?
One thing that was continually shown throughout this trip, before this trip began, was the sovereignty of God. He really showed off just like his sovereignty on this trip. For me, it started with I wanted to go. That desire was there. I was told to trust him, just say yes and trust him. He'll provide for it. And he did very quickly. He provided financially. He covered the cost of the trip. There's some vaccinations that you have to go get. He covered the cost of the vaccinations, which was not expected for me. And I had extra at the end that I was able to just donate to SOS, which was so sweet and unexpected. And he immediately showed like, I will provide, I'm sovereign. And then I want to say less than 2 weeks before our trip, all of the stuff about Ebola came out that's in that central part of Africa right now. And our flights had to be rebooked so that we could fly into Washington, D.C. to go through a screening with the CDC. And it was seamless and it was immediate. Our flights were rebooked and it was perfect. So there were just small ways like that. We had a passport that was lost on a plane on our way home that was found before we needed to get on our next flight. We had a canceled flight that was then immediately rescheduled so that we got on a nicer plane with more leg room on the way home. Like, there were so many small ways that he showed his sovereignty, but there were also some really cool big ways that he showed his sovereignty, just in the way that he partnered our team together. I think a lot of times when you go on trips like this, there's like a clear denominator that a lot of the teammates share that's like, this is what we're going to focus on while we're there. And those trips are super helpful and they're amazing, but we didn't have that. We had a couple people who were in education. We had a girl who does photography. We had somebody who, we had a PT. We had somebody who worked in a PT clinic during high school. So we had all of these. Somebody was a preschool teacher. So we had these skill sets that we had no idea we were going to use in Uganda. And then we got there and we're organizing wheelchair parts, which was the PT people were super helpful with that. Somebody had an uncle who was disabled who spent most of his life in a wheelchair. So he was familiar with wheelchair parts and was able to help us sort through everything. The PT, we had a girl who worked in a PT clinic in high school, and she was able to apply some of the things that she learned in high school working at the PT clinic on this trip. A photographer who brought her camera to take pictures of us to kind of advertise the trip to the church so that in 2 years when we go again, there are people that want to go. She ended up being able to do a family photo shoot for a brand new family. They just had twin girls,
Awesome.
which was super sweet. But she also met the campus photographer, who had been in photography for 6 months, and was like, I need some settings on my camera fixed. I don't know what I'm doing. And so she went and met with the campus photographer and fixed settings on the camera and taught her how to use different, taught her how to use Lightroom to its fullest potential so that she can edit photos. And so there were just a lot of really small skill sets that the Lord had prepared us 5, 10 years ago here in the States that we had no idea we would be using in the middle of Uganda. But here it was, there was a need. And somebody always stepped up and they were like, oh, I know how to do that. Like I did that 10 years ago. And they were able to step up and meet that. So just in the way that God prepares us, he's sovereign over our entire lives and he prepares us for the things that he's called us to. And so, yeah, if there was one thing that I walked away with that God really just demonstrated his character, it was his sovereignty.
That's awesome. That's so cool to hear about. And so mission trip's over, you're back home in America, go back to campus. So what is one of the things that on the mission trip, how do you continue that locally, when you're at home, when you're on campus, when you're coaching or playing volleyball, how do you continue that, what you learned or what you took into that mission tripping and bring it home to your campus and to your home?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the ways that really shocked me when I was there, I didn't expect to learn while I was there or to see while I was there, was I mentioned it earlier, but SOS started by establishing a church. It's a local church is what it is. And the Mercy Ministries, they pour out from the church. So the medical clinic, the seminary, the school, they pour out from the local church. And that's a model that is seen in Uganda. It's a model that's seen here in the States too. And so just that's how God desires for us to serve people. He built the church. And so just the understanding that I'm coming back with get plugged into a local church, partner with them, and serve the community through them. You're more powerful when you're surrounded by a body of believers who can also help you in this ministry. You're not called to do it alone. So get plugged into a local church. Serve the community through that. Look out, see what are the needs of the community and serve their physical needs, but at the forefront, serve their spiritual needs. Share the gospel with them and allow them to understand what mercy is by showing them mercy. And then they're able to understand just the goodness of God. And so that was something that was super sweet. One other thing was just, I mentioned it earlier again, but the life focused on eternity. Luke 14 talks a lot about just like there's this great banquet that for the believers we can look forward to. That is our hope while we're here. And for the non-believers, it's a really scary thought because we look forward to this great banquet. We look forward to a future hope. They don't have that future hope to look forward to. And so for them, this is their best life. Whether you're living in poverty in Africa or you're disabled or you're a trillionaire in America, whatever your life looks like if you're not a believer, this is your best life. But if you are a believer, you have a future hope that you can look forward to. And so one of the things that really encouraged me to do is go extend that invitation. Care for physical needs of people, but care for their spiritual needs. Extend the invitation. Allow them to receive this invitation and then get them plugged in with a local church and bring them in. And this looks like whether I'm at school or I'm coaching volleyball or I'm playing volleyball or whatever it looks like, caring for people, sharing the gospel with them, seeing their physical needs, having conversations with them, and then bringing them into the church so that the church can do what the church does best.
Awesome. So, like I said, there's a lot of people over in Uganda that you were able to help out. Just what are some ways, and we'll have some links in the descriptions of the
Yeah.
video and the podcast here, but what are some ways that people can get involved from stateside, whether can't go all the way to Uganda, I know it's expensive, takes time, but if they want to help
Yeah.
out from here, what are some ministries they can get involved with and how can they help from here?
Yeah, for sure. So there were two main ministries that we partnered with while we were there, that I want to highlight. The first is SOS Ministry. So that's the church, the Legacy Christian Academy, the Shepherd's Training Center, the medical clinic, and community outreach. And their vision is to see Jesus Christ reigning through his word in the hearts of people. And so they do that by meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the people in Uganda. They strengthen God's church and disciple communities in and around central Uganda. So one of the ways to partner with them is partner with them in prayer. Pray for them, missionary families, pray for SOS, pray for the church. Just be hold the rope here by praying for them. But also ministry is expensive and they need funds. And so you can partner with them financially. I know you said there would be links. And so if there is a link to their website down in the description, there are tons of ways to help partner with them financially, whether you're sponsoring a child or you're donating to the one-time donation or a monthly donation, whatever that looks like. They do need funds to continue doing what they're doing effectively. And so that is a way to partner with them. The second ministry that I worked really closely with while I was there is Johnny and Friends. And their vision is to see a world where every person with a disability finds hope and dignity and their place in the body of Christ. And they do this practically by glorifying God as they communicate the gospel and mobilize the global church to evangelize, disciple, and serve people living with a disability. So again, one way to help them is to partner with them in prayer. Pray for that ministry. Pray for the continued fruitfulness of that ministry. But also, they also have ways on their website that you can give financially to continue to support what they are doing. Because they, it again, it costs money to run ministry and to do it effectively. And both of these ministries are doing ministry well. They're continuing to pour out into people for SOS in Uganda, for Johnny and Friends across the world. And so continuing to give to them and give to them faithfully just so that they can continue to do their ministry faithfully.
That's awesome. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about your trip. And,
Yeah, of
thank you
course.
for sharing with us. And hopefully, we can take those skills learned and take those lessons learned and bring them back to your campus this fall.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you once again to Hannah Skaggs for joining me, talking about her mission trip to Uganda. For those who are unable to travel to Uganda on a mission trip but want to help out SOS Ministries and Johnny and Friends from home, you can visit the links in the description or go to sosministries.com or Johnny, that's Joni, and friends.org. That's going to do it for us for this episode of the King Chasing Podcast. We'll continue our summer series on mission trips soon, and we'll have plenty of episodes for you. And again, in case you missed anything, head over to the nccaa.org/podcast. Look at the NCCAA YouTube channel for the King Chasing Podcast, or go to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. That's going to do it for us here. I'm Richard Martin saying so long, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the King Chasing Podcast.